because a brother said, not a single person from the Sahaba ever said Allah exists without a place. How dare you say Allah exists without a place? Well, also, they didn't say he exists with a place either, right? Because if you say that, you actually are putting the onus of the burden of proof is on you to provide a proof that there is a place. That there, and what is that place? What is the name of that place? Is it God? Will you get, is it God's home then, if that's what you're saying? So let's read these nusus from the Sharia that tells us that the reason why the ulama said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْجُودٌ بِلَا مَكَانٍ وَلَا زَمَانٍ. How about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُهُ. Allah existed and nothing else existed besides him. Bukhari. Is place a thing? Is time a thing? Is location a thing? Then he existed without it. And he exists now as he exists then, because Allah doesn't change. He has no needs for anything. How about, what is the meaning of هو الأول والآخر? He is the first and the last. Well, one of the meanings, the valid and sound meanings of that, is it means that before anything existed, Allah existed with all of his attributes. And after everything perishes, Allah will exist with all of his attributes and nothing lost. I mean, for us, if our stuff, if we lose it, we decrease, right? And if we gain it, we increase. هو الأول والآخر, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before all the creation, all this creation, as massive as we imagine it to be, seven heavens, paradise and hell, before all of this existed, he existed and there was nothing with him. And after all of it will perish. As we know, every single living thing will perish. Even Malik al-Maut himself, Allah says, Mutya Malik al-Maut. Angel of death, Allah says, die. And he dies. There will be not a single living soul or organism. Will Allah have lost anything? Will Allah have changed? Nothing. هو الأول والآخر. So therefore, he exists before the arsh, before the throne of Allah Ta'ala. Throne of Allah Ta'ala, Allah has attributed it to himself to honor it, to show us how great and massive this is and what a great creation it is. Just like Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says about, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, I blew in him from my ruh, my spirit. Does Allah have a ruh, a spirit? No, the answer is he owns it. Well, Allah owns everything, yes, but when he attributes ownership to himself, it is a way to honor that thing. So the ruh is honored because Allah says, ruhi, the one that I own, I created. And ulama says the same of the arsh. Allah says in the Quran, Allahu samad. And Allah says, wallahu al-ghani. Allah is the absolute independent of any needs, and everything needs him. Clearly, anything in a space has a need for that space, right? And everything that is in a space is dependent upon that space, whether it wants to be or not. So therefore, if Allah is ever without need, then he would not be in a space, in a location. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْتَ الظَّاهِرُ وَلَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. Sahih Muslim. It's a beautiful dua. It's actually about debt. اقضي عني الدين. Fulfill my debts. But the line that's important here, أَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. You are the batin. You are the not apparent, inwardly hidden, or hidden, we can say. Yes, because some aspect of Allah is hidden to us. We don't see him now. We see him in the, inshallah, in the akhirah, without direction or physicality. Dunaka means beneath. So if there is nothing above him, nothing below him, then he exists without a place. Who said that? Bayhaqi quotes those who have said that. Imam al-Bayhaqi. Someone may say, all right, why are you taking the literal meaning of dunaka here? It's because we always go to the literal meaning first, unless a muhkam verse, muhkam is an explicit verse, would tell us otherwise. If a muhkam verse is saying one thing, and then a mutashabih, a verse that's from the mutashabihat, that unclear verses, is saying what seems to be the opposite, then we say that it's definitely not that meaning. It's not that apparent meaning. So here, ليس دونك شيء, there's nothing muhkam that is contradicting. right? Or that is apparently opposing. So the apparent meaning here is acceptable to us. If that apparent meaning was opposing a muhkam verse, then yes, we would say we will go to another meaning or we will leave it completely. Tafweed or ta'weed. Talib Razi is saying a good point. He said, those who took above literally, here they have to take below metaphorically, right? So we say, what is your dabit here? What's your standard? The standard is clear. If a mutashabih verse, the apparent meaning of the mutashabih will seemingly contradict or contradict directly a muhkam, then we do tanzih. We sarf al-ma'na an dhahirihi. We say the meaning is definitely not this outward meaning. Okay. We establish the text as it is a text from Allah, 100%. We believe in it. But we say that this possible meaning is not what Allah intended. Why? Because Allah himself told us elsewhere. Told us something else elsewhere. Let's go to just the reason and defining terms, right? We have to reason and define terms. What is a place? What does a place consist of? Is not a place a physical location made of matter? And anything that is in that place also must be placed made of matter. And we know Allah is not made of matter. So that's just by defining terms. That's it. If we define the terms and the lawazim of the terms, remember what we said earlier, you got to worry about three things. Define your terms. List out all the lawazim, the necessary implications of that term. And then don't contradict yourself. Make sure there's no contradiction there. Is this some philosophical Aristotle nonsense? This is nothing other than defining terms. Shaitan has fooled you with this branding, right? Is this anything other than define the term, define the lawazim of the term, the necessary implications of that term?
Like, tell me otherwise.
Is that not common sense?
Is there like a second option here?
Yeah.
Like, it's so simple, common sense.
Can I put my imagination in a place? No. I can't even say my imagination is in my head. That's even metaphoric, right?
Your imagination is itibari. It's like,
it's not even a thing.
It's not really like, it doesn't actually have a like an extra mental existence.
It's right? Completely mental.
So like a jism, what is a jism? What is a body? It's something that's murakkab. It's mm-hmm. made up parts. Okay. And then what's the necessary implication of something that's made of a part?
Yeah.
It has parts. Whatever has parts depends on those parts. Right. Like there it's so simple. Like you can tell this to like, you know, high schooler and they'll understand this. It's not very hard. It's not like some deep philosophical stuff.
There's no two Muslims that will disagree. No two humans that would disagree. If we're going to talk, we've got to define our terms. We got to list out the implications of those terms. And then we don't contradict ourselves. That's it. Now, let's take another angle here. If what we're saying is correct, are we going to come here in the year 1445? What year, Hijri year are we, right? 1444. Right, 45, right? And come up with some new ideas. Are we mujtahids in aqidah for us to say this stuff? Who said it before us? And if it's true, who affirmed it, that this is the case? And Allahu mawjudun bila makan. Let's go first to Imam al-Bayhaqi. And we have to note, the question came up later. Therefore, by default, we will not have commentary from the Salaf. Kitab al-Asma wa-Sifat lil-Hafidh al-Bayhaqi. Qala, wal-ladhi ruwiya fi akhiri hadha al-hadithi. إشارة إلى نفي المكان عن الله تعالى. This hadith that we just said, that you are the outwardly apparent, so then there is nothing above you. And you are the inwardly hidden, and there is nothing below you. He says, it has been narrated regarding this hadith, that number one, wherever you are, you are the same in it, your nearness and farness from Allah, because nearness and farness from Allah is mental. It's spiritual. It means I'm in his pleasure and I'm receiving that, or I'm in his anger. It has nothing to do with physically. So if I shot myself up in a rocket, am I closer to Allah? A'udhu billah. What is this? You're worshiping an idol in the heavens? All right? وَأَنَّهُ الظَّاهِرُ فَيَلْصِحُ إِدْرَاكُهُ بِالْأَدِلَّ. So a ظاهر is outwardly apparent. That means we can look at evidences and know that he exists. So his existence is outwardly apparent. وَهُوَ الْبَاطِنِ فَلَا يَصِحُ إِدْرَاكُهُ بِالْكَوْنِ فِي مَكَانٍ. And he says he is inwardly hidden, so you will not find his existence in a location. You don't run around and fly up in the sky looking for the Creator. Okay? No matter what technology we ever develop, and peer out and shoot through all seven heavens. That is how he is al-batin. So his existence can be determined with the intellect, but he cannot be determined with a location. ثم قال واستدل بعض أصحابنا. Some of our companions have taken this as evidence too. في نفي المكان عنه بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت الظهر فليس قبل فوقه وأنت الباطن فليس دونك شيء. And there's nothing above you, there's nothing below you. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فَوْقَهُ شَيْءٍ if there's nothing above him. وَلَا دُونَهُ شَيْءٍ and nothing below him. لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي مَكَانٍ then he is not in a location. Anything in a location must be have something above him or below him, or on his right or on his left. Correct or incorrect? This is from, is this philosophy? No, this is from the definition of a place. Define place and the necessary implications of a place. Let's go to Imamuna al-Qurtubi. تفسير القرطبي الجامع لأحكام القرآن قال ووصفه بالعلو والعظمة لا بالأماكن والجهات والحدود. To describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with highness and greatness is not a description of location or direction or limits. لأنها صفات الأجسام because these would be the attributes of physical bodies. And we say that Allah Ta'ala is not a physical body. وَإِنَّمَا تُرْفَعُ الْأَيْدِي بِالدُّعَاءِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ لِأَنَّ السَّمَاءَ مَهْبِطُ الْوَحْيِ وَمَنْزِلُ الْقَطْرِ أي المطر وَمَحَلُّ الْقُدْسِ أي جبريل وَمَعْدِنُ أي مكان الْمُطَهَّرِينَ من الملائكة. So what he say here? He's saying, we only raise our hands up in dua. And likewise, the famous Hadith of the Jariyah, where she points upwards. Why? Because it is the Qibla of dua. Because the sky is where we see the revelation come down from. Jibreel used to come down from there. And the rain comes down from there. And it is the place of noble angels. And also the deeds go up there. So everything good is upwards to us. Everything good is up. And even above that is the Arsh of Allah, is a physical creation. It is above all of that. And paradise is even is above. كَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ قِبْلَةً لِلْدُعَاءِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Just like Allah made the Kaaba, the Qibla of Salah and Dua. So the vertical Qibla of Dua is upwards. The horizontal Qibla of Dua is Mecca. وَلِأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الْأَمْكِنَةَ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ مُحْتَاجٍ إِلَيْهَا He created direction and he has no need for it. وَكَانَ فِي أَزَلِهِ قَبْلَ خَلْقِ الْمَكَانِ وَالزَّمَانِ And he had existed pre-eternally without the creation of time and place. وَلَا مَكَانَ لَهُ وَلَا زَمَانِ There is no place for Allah nor time. وَهُوَ الْآنَ عَلَى مَا عَلَيْهِ كَانَ And he is now as he always was. And there is even no meaning to say for Allah is, was, and will be. That's for us, our perceptions. والعلي يراد به علو القدر When we say that Allah is high, it means his qadr, his value, it's his worth to us, all right? And his greatness is high, not his location. We're not speaking about the location because Allah is transcendent beyond direction.